You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. What you're about to hear are two very distinguished experts. First of all, Dr. Richard L. Rubenstein, who is a very astute and famous author and professor and philosopher, and also the Honorable Dr. James David Manning, explaining why Obama is so dangerous, not just to America, but to the entire world.
I'm Jerry Gordon, the senior editor of the New English Review. We're here with Dr. Richard L. Rubenstein, a contributing editor of the NER. And Richard, you had a very interesting talk this morning about President Obama and his agenda for both the United States and the world. I wonder if you might be able to give us the high points that you talked about this morning.
Basically, I think that encapsulating what I said, Obama is really a revolutionary. That doesn't mean he's looking to stir up violent trouble, but I believe that he is trying to transform both the American political system and economic system and America's relationship to the world. I also believe that he has decided that America must make its peace with Iran, and that he has stalled all attempts to bring meaningful sanctions to Iran. Finally, I believe that he is a man who is highly intelligent, knows what he's doing, and in spite of the fact that he has attracted liberal Jewish supporters, some with great wealth, his intention is to correct the historical mistake of the creation of the State of Israel. This, by the way, has been a theme that has gone through American diplomacy from the time that the State of Israel was first created in 1947-1948, when Secretary of State George Marshall and Dean Acheson, who was later to be Secretary of State, and John McCoy, and a number of other people who have been called wise men, told Truman that it would be a mistake to establish the State of Israel. Marshall threatened that he would resign as Secretary of State if Truman went through with it. Truman nevertheless went through with it, but there has been a tradition in the State Department ever since that this was an historic mistake. Problem is that if you try to correct this mistake, you can only do this by not only destroying the state, but by destroying the people. And since the Arabs have not been able to destroy the state by themselves, they have used diplomacy and international pressure to create a situation in which the odds are stacked in the UN and elsewhere in the diplomatic world heavily against Israel. Given Obama's background, the fact that his family was on his father's side was Muslim, that his sister is a Muslim, that his half-brother is a Muslim, there is no doubt that he heard a great deal about Islam and Israel from them before he took office, and though he was not candid about it at first, he has, by his decisions and his symbolic actions, made it clear where his sympathies are. I have no doubt that he would not be unhappy to see the destruction of the State of Israel as long as he can say that my hands have not shed this blood, which is a phrase from the Bible. In addition to that, he has a hostility towards Western Europe, especially to England, as characterized by the symbolic action of returning the bust of Winston Churchill to the English, one of his first acts. And he has made some interesting symbolic moves with, for example, bowing to King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia, since King Abdullah is the keeper of the two holiest shrines of Islam, Mecca and Medina. One wonders why he did this. But when a head of state, which is what Obama is, makes a symbolic statement like that, you know he's trying to convey a message, and it's not one that we in Western civilization can really accept. Finally, he has talked of a nuclear-free Middle East and a nuclear-free world. And what he intends to do, of course, is, if he can, to disarm Israel's great equalizer. It has been able to defend itself against the far more numerous Arabs by virtue of the fact that it has nuclear weapons. And Obama will, and he's indicated he will, apply every pressure to Israel to take that equalizer away from him then. So the way I see it is that this man is a menace to Israel, to Western Europe, and I might add that Western Europe is beginning to have sanctions against Iran, which are far greater and more effective than anything Obama was willing to tolerate, and to the whole of the Western world. He aims for a radical transformation. He is the most radical president America has ever had.
Richard, thank you very much.
What are we going to do about Afghanistan, America? What Michael Steele has termed as Obama's war, and he's absolutely right in identifying that war as such. You have to remember that Obama spent 4 years from 1981 to 85 in Pakistan and in Afghanistan helping the Mujahideens ward off the Soviet invasion. And it was in that period of time as a community organizer that Obama, as a CIA operative, was able to help the Mujahideen and the young people in that group develop what is now known as the Taliban. So he has deep connections and affections for the Taliban people and for the Afghans and Pakistans as well. A secret that has been kept from us, but not from the CIA and not from the political process that which catapulted him into immediate power in America, because he has that classified information. So he is not going to wage the kind of war against the Taliban and Afghanistan people that needs to be waged in order to win it. You and I now know that General McChrystal walked out of that war by dropping all those statements about Obama and his military leadership, because the rules of engagement structured by Obama were that, and are at present, that no soldier from America could shoot at any Taliban or anyone shooting at them unless they could do two things. One is see the weapon that was being used to fire at them and see the person that was firing at them. Hence, if someone was firing from behind a wall or through a window, as they were the other day, where several Marines were pinned down, taking fire all over the place, but because the Marines could not see the weapon that was being fired or the person firing, they could not return fire. Those are the rules of engagement that caused General McChrystal to walk out of Afghanistan and to take the position he took, and that was expressed in Rolling Stone magazine. So we got several problems with respect to Obama's affection for Afghanistan. The other thing I think we have to look at is that the Afghanistan or Taliban, the Mujahideen, Al-Qaeda have developed guerrilla warfare after looking at what took place in Vietnam with Ho Chi Minh, who developed warfare, night fighting, and the kind of fighting that was not custom for to the Europeans or to Americans, because pretty much we have been a confrontational, you know, line, front line fighting and the kind of battles. But Ho Chi Minh discovered guerrilla warfare. It has been perfected now by the Taliban. So it's going to be very difficult to beat them. As you remember, the Soviet Union spent 10 years trying to defeat the Afghanistan people. Couldn't do it. Had to leave with their tails between their legs. We are facing a national, major world problem if we cannot come out of Afghanistan with some sort of a victory. This July 2011 date is the worst possible thing that could ever have been said for America. It puts all of our lives at risk. It put the lives of our allies at risk. But it gives the Taliban and Afghanistan people a clear date for victory. We have got to do something about Obama. And the only way we're going to be able to effectually win the war in Afghanistan is, number one, is that we have got to publicly, as a nation, rise up, bite the bullet, and walk Obama out of the White House and down to Guantanamo Bay as a prisoner, because he is not a U.S. citizen. There is no way under the sun that Obama could be natural born. His father was a Kenyan. Do you understand that? His father was not American, and his mother was too young at the age of 17 to convey citizenship to him. He is a Kenyan. I don't care whether he was born in the White House Lincoln bedroom. He is not natural born. He knows it. The 2008 political class knows it. Joe Lieberman knows it. John McCain knows it. Lindsey Graham knows it. Hillary Clinton knows it. They all know it. But they're all as corrupt as they can possibly be. And Obama has used his years in Afghanistan training the Taliban, evolving them from the Mujahideen to the Taliban. He's used that classified information to extort his way to power in the White House. We have got to march him out on the constitutional mandate as a convicted criminal, for he is the most notorious criminal that has ever walked the face of this earth. Now listen, let me say something to you. You listen to this and you want to scoff at it, but it's true. You listen to it and you don't want to believe it. People tell me that they want me to support the protests against the mosque being built here in New York City, down at Ground Zero, where 2,800 Americans lost their lives by an Islamic attack, during an Islamic attack. That it is an awful thing that a mosque is being built right where these Americans lost their lives for Muslims to worship on sacred ground, like the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. I tell you, Charles Finney would have a fit if he knew that this was happening in his day. But I say to the people who want me to protest, listen, until you are willing to get that Muslim out of the White House, they're going to build mosques all over America. Our schools are going to respect Sharia law. There are going to be Islamic holidays within 2 years. This will be a Sharia-led nation if we don't stand up and declare that Obama, who's an illegal alien, who's spreading and giving vent and opportunity for all of this Islamic hatred and all of this Islamic disrespect and contempt to be leveled in our nation. Listen, Obama has flipped the charts, and that's why so many black people voted for him. They had in their heart, they wanted to get even with white America for slavery. Black people haven't forgotten about slavery. Every day they wake up thinking about it. Every day they wake up thinking about it. And don't you think there aren't enough programs on television to remind them of it? But you know, white people, the racist liberal whites, haven't forgotten about slavery either. And they voted for Obama to try to pay the debt for slavery by putting a black man, they didn't care if he was a Muslim or what, in the White House. And now he's destroying this nation. Let me say this to you. Obama's become the new slave master. And the new slaves in America now are the God-fearing, Constitution-loving white people. You are now the new slaves. And Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, and Glenn Beck are now the new house niggers. And you need to know exactly, that's exactly who they are. They are pacifying you. They are keeping you away from the truth. Listen to me. General McChrystal walked out of the command of Afghanistan because he knew that Obama's policies were killing our young men. Don't you know if Glenn Beck knows that Obama is not legitimately eligible to hold that office, he ought to be telling people, because lives are being lost and our troops are not being informed and they are being put in harm's way by one who has not the power to command them. That's why General McChrystal left. Obama is putting our young men and women lives in harm's way, and Glenn Beck is sitting there, and Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh, and they are letting our troops die. You got to stop it. We got to stop it. We have got to stop it, everybody. Obama spent 4 years in Afghanistan from 81 to 85, and his mother spent 5 years in Pakistan because as a CIA operative, he was able to get her a job washing money, laundering money, drug money at the Asian Development Bank, where she lived lavishly in the Hilton Hotel. This man has deep roots. He has deep roots. For Obama to fight against the Muslims is to fight against his brother. Now you laugh at that. Go ahead. But not only do we have to deal with that, we got the curse of that oil spill that's now moving around Miami and getting ready to head up the East Coast to Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, and off to Nantucket Island in just a few months from now. And then finally, we've got a depression coming. We have got a depression for the mismanagement of the bailout money that's getting ready to grip this nation, getting ready to rip the heart out of the breadbasket, getting ready to rip the heart out of the economics of this nation like you've never seen before. We have one way to win the Afghan war. We have one way and one way only, and to maintain our prestige in the world and assure our allies that we are still a powerful nation. That is, we've got to rise up, bite the bullet, constitutionally march Barack Hussein Obama out of the White House and down to Guantanamo Bay, where he belongs, and then suffer the consequences of what will fall out thereafter. But at least our nation will know, and then our troops can fight in Afghanistan, and the world will know that we are willing to take the measures that are necessary in order to secure peace for the world and for our nation, and to bring back prosperity and bring back unity into this nation as it ought. But Obama must go. And don't let these house niggers on radio and television every afternoon and evening pacify you with some false hope that things are going to be better after November. They're not going to get better. They're getting worse progressively every day. Obama must go now. And by the way, Michael Steele, don't let these people put you out of your job. They put you in there as a knee-jerk racial response to Obama. Stay there, Michael. It was racism in the Republican Party that put you there.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.